From Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not for one of the least of these, you did not for me." I'm actually repeating this bit. I'm sorry. I've actually put it on twice the last few. There's an important line then. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I actually cut and pasted that, and I must have cut and pasted a little bit extra on. I'm sorry. Let's pray. Lord and Father, please help us to understand your word, even when it's difficult. Open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, to the speaking of your Holy Spirit, that we may grow in you, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Sometimes the Bible can be very difficult to understand, like the passage I've just read. Jesus is given a warning about the sharing and giving, that we can lose our place in heaven by being selfish and be condemned to everlasting damnation. But John 3:16 onwards says the only way to heaven is through Jesus. We've all heard the saying, I'm sure you have, "I'm okay, Jack, pull up the ladder." Does anybody remember that saying? Do you remember where it came from? It was a seaman's saying that when they rescued somebody from the side of a boat, they drop a ladder and people would climb up it. And of course, the person said, "I am okay," was the one that got up there first, told them to pull the ladder up and leave the rest to drown. And that's where the saying came from. And sometimes we think, "Yes, I'll give my life to Jesus. I'm okay now. That's it. Okay, pull up the ladder. I'm okay now. Don't worry about the rest of you." Is being a Christian just being a follower of Jesus, or is there more involved? The disciples became apostles and moved on from being followers to workers. They had no knowledge on what to do, did they? They weren't teachers. They were fishermen and different things, and Jesus taught them. And when Jesus left them, he left them with the Holy Spirit, and they were inspired And they became apostles. That means workers rather than just followers. They even were prepared to give up their lives for Jesus. There seems to be that there is more ways to eternal damnation than rejecting Jesus. I've been challenged in the last couple of weeks, really, since I've had a video from Yuri. Now, Yuri, we sent the money for a horse. You're going to be very excited because you're going to see it. Right, can we have it on, please? I'm very sorry that the soundtrack has disappeared. It was on my computer at home, but it's disappeared here. The words are in Spanish, and that is from Matthew 25. Just what I've been sharing with you, some of what I've been sharing with you. Now, this is a group of Christians walking up into the mountains. It's quite a few miles. It's probably 50 or 60 miles they walk to get up there. And as you can see, it's not an easy way, is it? That's not the horse. They have got a couple of horses between them. They're getting some of the stuff up there. Now, you can just about see the head popping up. See the head popping up and down? That is the horse. Ah. There it is. You'll see it properly in a minute, don't worry. Yes. It's a beautiful horse, it really is. And we sent extra money, and I'm sure, in speaking to Yuri, some of that money has been gone to take stuff up into the mountains, and they took a tractor up there. How they got it up there, I don't know, but you can see yourself. There was music behind this in Spanish, so perhaps the Lord didn't want us. There's the horse. Now, there's a very excited pastor. He is the pastor of the mountains. Now, he is speaking to us. I'll tell you what he says in a minute. No, that's the pastor of the mountains. Yuri's there as well. I'll explain to you how the horse is going to be used in a minute. Right, from Yuri, holla, this is my brother, hello. I am very happy because we can help for the gospel. The translation is, I am grateful in the Jesus name by the help because they sent the money to buy the horse. The horse would be a big help here on the mountain, and we can move here and preach God's gospel like Jesus said. Preach the gospel to every creature he commandeth. Because who believed and is baptized shall be saved. This horse God chosen as a blessing for to God's servants here in the mountains, Palma de la Cruz. And you'll see actually them up in the mountains there. They've got a little church up there. Now that is Psalm 108, 4 to 5. I'll read that at the end. Yuri said he was going to send us a link for the full mission for the travel for 2013 to 2018, and I will share it at some time for you. Right, Yuri wanted the horse to take it into the mountains for the ministry. And it's not just going to be used for Yuri every couple of months when he goes up into the mountains. It's going to stay in the mountains. So that the mountain pastor can travel all over the mountains for ministry. Yuri will use it as well every time he goes up. The food, there's food, on those photos there was food and gifts taken up into the mountains. These people that went up there with Yuri have nothing. They really haven't. They have enough to eat, and that's about it. The state makes it possible. I don't know, has anybody here been to Cuba? Well, up to a few years ago, the only way you could get food, apart from on the black market, was to go into a government shop. And you had to have literally coupons. So you'd go in and get a bag of flour and everything else. And we saw, Rose and I saw, people queuing up at these shops to get their food. It's the only way they could get any. They got it in the end, but perhaps they'd have to queue up all day for a piece of bread or something. It's getting better now, but it's still not right. Now, as I said, these people have nothing, yet they took what they could up into the mountains, and they do every time, because the people up the mountains, they call the poor people. Now, if you see the normal people of Cuba, to us, even the poorest here would be very rich in comparison, honestly. Some of them have absolutely nothing. So the people went up there, they walk, ride where possible, and give, give, give. There's some instances in the Bible about giving. In 1 Kings 17, verses 7 to 16, the prophet Elijah, after prophesying to King Ahab about a coming drought, had to literally run away. The Lord provided him food in the desert. The ravens brought him food and water. But at some time, the river dried up. And the Lord told him to go to Zarephath to meet a widow who had eggs of flour and a tiny amount of oil. She was prepared to share this with Elijah, even though this was her last meal for her and her son. She knew that was her last meal and they were going to starve to death straight afterwards. But the Lord blessed her and filled the coffers up, as the food went never-ending, didn't it? But things went wrong. Her son died and the Lord raised him from the dead. So she was blessed in many ways, but she was prepared to give. In Mark 12, verses 41 to 44, Jesus gives an example of sacrificial giving. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live in." Challenge to me, what am I prepared to give? I think the warnings come there. We can come to Jesus as our Lord and Saviour and just carry on the plateau. We are promised that Jesus will honour and have a room for us. But in this other passage where Jesus says, if we don't actually work and put something back into the kingdom, we could end up in hell still. It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge to us all. It's a challenge to what we can do, what we can give, and how we are. I mean, the work is going out. It's actually being prepared to say to somebody, I am a Christian. And not be ashamed of it. And sometimes you go up to somebody and say, I'm a Christian. And they'll ask you questions. In 1984, I lost a business. It was quite a large business. It was not through me, it was through fraud of somebody else. And Rose and I were left with nothing. We almost lost our house, actually, because our house was up in collateral for the business. But a company came along and said, we'd like to take on the work you had, and we'd like you to come and work for us, to take charge of that work at a vastly better salary than I ever earned myself. It was over double what I'd ever earned before in my life. Now, at that time, I was what's called an orderland in the Church of England. I was for 10 years, and there was a problem of me being able to move forward. So I only went as far as being a lay preacher. But I told them at the time, because I wasn't sure where the Lord was going to leave me, that I'm a Christian, and I might have to leave to go into ministry. And I had the questions, well, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to give up all this? And I was able to tell them that because I was Christian, I was prepared to give everything up. I was there for many years until they went bust. Never mind. The Lord has always kept Rose and I well. I've been praising for the Lord. What are we prepared to give up? What are we prepared to stay? Well, there's money, first of all, and I'm sure we tithe our money. We give the Lord his percentage of what he's blessed us with. Our time is a very special commodity. Are we always too busy to help others? To help with things in the church? Being a Christian is not for short periods on Sundays. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So, what can we do? How can we help? The warnings are there. Those who serve and give of themselves and come to Jesus as their Saviour will join Jesus. Let's not be a people of excuses. Let's willingly give of ourselves. It is hard, but brings great blessings. Perhaps not now, but in the kingdom of God. Sometimes life is very hard on earth, but we are promised when we meet Jesus, things will completely change. If we're ill, if we're disabled, we'll be leaping and jumping in joy. Our bodies will become new. We'll have new bodies in heaven. And it's a lovely thought. It really is for me. So over the last couple of weeks, I've been challenged. What am I going to do? So I'm passing it on to everyone here today. Please be challenged too and think, can I grow as a Christian? Can I help others as a Christian? What can I do as a Christian? And especially, this is going to come from Cuba as I finish. It's not a long sermon. Psalm 108, verses 4 to 5. And it's just words of praise. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Let's show people the glory of our Saviour here on earth.